Welcome to the program, Seven Gifts of the Holy Spirit, with Father Kanis Cartmell. And now, Father Cartmell.
Hello, family, my brothers and sisters. We've been talking about the Holy Spirit, and we've talked about the gifts of wisdom and understanding and knowledge. And now we're going to try to finish speaking about how the Holy Spirit will help us to understand ourselves. We've spoken about the fact that He will help us and give us the patience we need to wait for God's answer. There will be a little bit of overlapping when we talk about understanding ourselves, because every time we try to understand ourselves better with the help of the Holy Spirit, we'll end up understanding our neighbor better. And we'll understand a little bit better how God operates in everyone, especially the Holy Spirit. As most of you know, I've been on the island of Wake. I was there as the Federal Aviation Agency chaplain for 3.5 years. It's a barren island, but on that island there are 500,000 sooty terns. It's a bird sanctuary. But besides the sooty terns, there is one bird that's unique. It's called the man of war bird. It's a beautiful bird, and it flies higher, longer, soars further than any bird in the world. But it has a weakness. It's got a weak landing gear. So when this bird comes down from its soaring, it has to land on either a rock or some kind of a shrub or some kind of a trunk so it can take off again, because the legs are too weak to support it and give it the thrust it needs to fly into the sky. That man of war bird is what I'd like you to be thinking about for the next 15, 20 minutes as we talk about understanding ourselves. Because you see, you and I are very much like that bird. We are lovable. We are capable. Our God loves us. We've heard that over and over again. And we've got great potential, you and I. You've got head of gold and so have I. But we have feet of clay. We have a weak landing gear. But like that bird, we must use the knowledge of where to land. And the Holy Spirit will help us to land. We'll never get rid of our feet of clay. We'll never get rid of our landing gear. But we, at the same time, we must never forget that we can fly high and we can touch the world if only we realize that we have to land at the right spot. We have to land on a rock. And that rock is Christ. Or we have to land on some kind of tree. And that tree is the tree of the cross. And as long as we remember where to land, we'll always be able to take off again, even with the landing gear that's weak. Because what do most of us think about when we look at ourselves? We look at our feet of clay. We look at all the mistakes we've made in our lives, all the things we could have done and should have done but didn't do. And don't feel bad, St. Paul said it too. The good that I would do, that I do not do. The evil that I would not do, that I do. And so at the end of every day, most of us look over that day that's just passed, and all we look at, all we are enamored with, are the things we didn't do right, the mistakes we made, the words we said that we shouldn't have said, the things we thought that we shouldn't have thought. All we're doing is looking at the negative side of ourselves. And that, my dear family, my brothers and sisters, is not the way that God wants us to look at ourselves. But if you and I every day, even once or twice, bring in the Holy Spirit and ask Him, help me to understand myself today, whether it's in the morning or at noon, but especially at night. If you say, help me to look at myself today the way you want me to look at myself, this is what you will come up with. Oh, yes, you can make your examination of conscience. And I think I can say this honestly, that when most people think of an examination of conscience, they think it means, look at all the sins you did, all the things that you did that were wrong, all the errors that you made, all the mistakes you committed. We spend a tremendous amount of our life looking at ourselves only negatively. And that is not sane. Nor is it Christian. Nor is it holy. Nor is it the way the Holy Spirit will help us look at ourselves. You can go down the list of the Ten Commandments, and you can find in every one some infraction. I've met people who haven't been to church in years, and I say, why don't you go to church? And they say, Father, I've broken them all. The church would fall down if I came in. And I say, friend, why don't you give Christ a chance to work with you? The people are good. I've never met a bad person. But I've met an awful lot of people who only look at themselves and they say, I am no good. I am not worthy. All they're looking at is that landing gear. All they're looking at is their negative aspects. All they're looking at is the feet of clay. And if we call upon the Holy Spirit to help us understand ourselves, He'll remind us, yes, of all the mistakes we made, whether it's the first commandment or the second or the third or the fourth or the fifth or the sixth. And you know, if you're a Protestant, the fifth commandment says, thou shalt not commit adultery. For Catholics, the number six. The number is unimportant. Everybody thinks that's the number one thing. You know what I think is really the number one thing most of us make mistakes on? Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. That's the easy one that we can rationalize away. But we can go down those negative aspects in our examination of conscience, but that's only half of ourselves. That's the negative aspect. There's got to be a positive view of ourselves as well. And so what I want you to do tonight, when you look at yourselves, all right, go down the negative side. I'm not going to change you overnight. And don't feel bad, I'll do the same thing. But I'll also tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go down all the things I've done today that I think were pretty good. Or I think I cooperated with my God. Oh, I'm not going to pat myself on the back and say, you're the greatest. But I'm going to say, thank you, God, for being with me today so that I could handle myself. That I wouldn't give up on myself. Because the last thing in the world, God, you want from me is to give up on myself. You want me to remember, God, that no matter what I've done in my life, the good and the bad, I have the power to fly. And that brings to mind one of the most beautiful movies I have ever seen in my life. And wherever you are, if ever you're able to see this film, I recommend it to you. It was produced by the Lutherans out of Chicago, I think. And I saw it on the island of Guam. And I used this film as my Christmas gift to the Catholics in Chatsworth, California. I told them, I said, I'd like to give you a Christmas gift. And the Christmas gift I'm going to give you is a story of a film I saw. It's the story of a gardener. And he's got a beautiful garden. And all the magnificent flowers are there. And in this garden, he has two ants that fly, and they go throughout the garden. And the gardener loves these two very special ants. And in the garden, there is a woman called Bruja, who was jealous of the gardener and jealous of the ants. And so she rebelled against the gardener. And the gardener sent her into another valley where everything looked like the garden, that she had left, but everything was empty and false. What looked like a lake was glass. What looked like a full, beautiful egg was empty. What looked like a flower crumbled at the touch. Everything fell to dust. And because this bruja wanted to be like the gardener, she scratched her face on one side, so that one side of her face looked like the gardener, but the other face was the face of Bruja. And she's in this valley very lonely and calls to the ants, "Come, Felicity, come." And these two flying ants heard the call of Bruja and flew into the garden of Bruja. And then they flew out. And the gardener went looking for his favorite ants. And he found them, and he said, "Why were you in the valley of Bruja, the witch?" And he put them in his hand, and he pulled their wings. And he blew them off his hand. And they tumbled to the ground. And life went on, and other ants were born. But they were born without wings. And as the number of ants increased, wars came. And they fought each other. And at the top of the hill, looking down into the valley, the gardener stood there with his son, a healthy young man. And as they look at the ants warring and fighting, the son says to his father, "I must become like one of them." And the son begins the trip down the hill. And as he goes down the hill, the thorns and the brambles rip off his clothes. And he ends down in the valley in a barren rock. And he becomes an ant. And when they find him on the rock, they bring him into the colony. And he's an ant like every other ant. But there's a difference. He's gentle with the older people. He's gentle with the sick. He's helpful with the bruised. He even goes into the valley of Bruja to plead for his people, his other ants. And so they blessed him with affliction. And they killed that special ant. And they buried him in a very special place. And they covered him with the wings of the first king and queen. And some days later, some of the ants from the colony came out to where this very special ant was buried. And the ant was gone, but the wings were there. And life went on, and other ants were born. But now, there was a difference. The ants were born with wings. They could fly again. You and I know who that wonderful ant was. Christ gave you and me the power to fly again. And he wants us to remember that. That's got to be at the forehead of our thought, the forehead of our day when we look at ourselves. If we're really going to understand ourselves, let us remember Christ gave us the power to fly. Look at your feet. Remember your head of gold, but remember, my brothers and sisters, Christ gave us the power to fly again. Think of that with joy, and think of yourself as lovable and capable as we take this break for a few moments. You know, unless we think positively of ourselves, we'll never get out of what I call the PLOM syndrome. I think everybody's got it. If they haven't got it, they've had it. If they haven't had it, they will get it. You know, when I was working in the hospital, and I'd see somebody there feeling sorry for herself, I would say, oh, you got the PLOM syndrome. What's that, Father? And I'd say, I'm glad you asked. It's called poor little old me. We all get into that. It's kind of the syndrome that tells us what is the greatest disease in America today. It isn't cancer, it isn't heart disease. It's depression. We've all gone into depression. Things have happened in our lives we didn't understand. We got angry at God, we got angry at people, we got angry at relatives, we got angry at husbands, we got angry at wives, we got angry at parents, we got angry at kids. And we fell into a depression. We began to feel sorry for ourselves because we forgot to remember that we had the power to fly. And that's why it's so important to call on the Holy Spirit every day, to activate Him in our lives every day, because unless we do, then brouhaha, we'll call you into the valley of depression. And you will go into that valley thinking that it's the best place to be. We've got to always call on Him because He will remind us to remember you're precious, you're valuable, you're lovable, and you're capable. And depression causes a lot of stress in all kinds of relationships. Being sorry for yourself is going to get you nowhere, but you will end up very stressful. And you know what happens when we get stressful? We try to do the things we can't do. We try to be more than we are. We're afraid to be just ourselves. God doesn't want me to be Pope John Paul II. I wouldn't mind being Pope, but as it is, He wants me to be Father Kinese, period, here where I am. I would like to be, at least looking body-wise, like some of these young men that pump iron. But I'm not. And the phrase that I remember most from my grammar school days was what a girl wrote in my graduation book. She was the girl that my mother thought I should marry. And she wrote down, "Dear Francis, don't be what you isn't. Just be what you is. Because if you isn't what you isn't, then you isn't what you is." If you remember that, marvelous. You've got a photographic memory. But basically what it says is this. Be who you are. Don't try to be anybody else. Try to be yourself under the guidance and inspiration of the Holy Spirit. I know what will happen. You and I will do things that people don't always understand. But if we try to just be ourselves and to be comfortable with ourselves, we will be people without stress. We will be people without guilt. We will be people who will not go into the valley of brouhaha and become depressed. You must have heard that in this country, the suicide rate among teenagers, the suicide rate among pre-teenagers, is rising every year. Do you know what that really means? It's an indication not that the kids are bad, but that they have lost something. They've lost their self-esteem for whatever reason. In Japan, they have a week called Hell Week, where they have special guards along these big parks and cliffs where people can jump off. Because if a kid fails in school, he thinks he's failed the world. No way. If you and I pray to the Holy Spirit to understand ourselves, we will know one thing. We will fail, but it's not the end of the world. We will make mistakes, but it's not the end of the world. Have you been drinking too much? It's not the end of the world. Have you been taking drugs? It's not the end of the world. Have you flunked out of high school? It's not the end of the world. You didn't make the team. You weren't given this job. You weren't promoted. It's not the end of the world because God is with us. And in our failures, we are perhaps at that peak of greatest performance. You know, of all the saints that have come down the pike, one man to me is the greatest of all examples. His name was Noel Charbonnel. He came over as a Jesuit to the New World. He'd come from a very wealthy family, and he loved good food and nice manners. And he comes in with the Huron Indians of Canada. He couldn't stand their customs. He couldn't stand the lice. He hated their food. He couldn't learn their language. And the Indians laughed at him because he was gentle. They made fun of him. And he knew he was a failure as a priest and as a missionary. And so he went into chapel and he said he was ready to quit. And after talking it over with God, he made a promise not to quit. Because he knew that somehow God would use his failure for good. And even the way he died, he didn't die gloriously. He was sitting in chapel and an Indian came in and hit him on the head with a tomahawk. He never even knew what hit him. But I like him because he made a promise not to quit. And what I'm really saying to you and to myself with this gift of understanding is this. We'll never get all the answers, but I do know that if you and I pray to the Holy Spirit every day, we'll never give up on ourselves. I've made mistakes. When I was in Wake Island, it was the seventh straight year I lived alone. I was angry, and I was hurt. I felt that nobody cared, and I began to feel sorry for myself. And so I began to drink too much. I don't drink anymore. But when I look back, I was using drink as an excuse to run away from looking at myself. Instead of facing up to the reality that I am really lovable and that I am precious in the eyes of my God, I felt sorry for myself and I went into a depression that only some very dear friends brought me out of. I consider myself one of the richest men in the world today. Not because of any mistakes I've made, but because I have made mistakes, I'm rich. Because it was through the failures and the mistakes that I'm able to continue on doing what God wants me to do. When I say I'm lovable, I don't say I'm perfect. But when I examine my conscience every night, I look at the flip side of all those sins and see all the powerful things that God has used in me for the good of others. And so now when I look at people, I see their head of gold. And I can sense and feel where they're coming from. I was once rejected in the seminary. I was misunderstood and judged falsely. And it got so bad that one day I wanted to quit. And I was a year away from ordination. And I walked into chapel and I said, Christ, I can't take it anymore. I'm going to quit. I walked out of that chapel 5 minutes later with this answer. Looking at Christ on the cross, I heard these words. Do you think that what they did to me was fair? And why did you come here in the first place? And you know, I learned a great lesson from that. That even if the world rejects you and you're very lonely physically, we're never alone. And that what God allows to happen in our lives, He allows it to happen for a reason. So that we become better men, better women, better wives, better husbands, better children, better parents. Summing it up, I like to say this. I'll never get all the answers to everything in this world. But I do know that if I pray every day, I've got to tell you how often I pray to the Holy Spirit. I pray to Him at least 100 times a day. Before I answer a telephone, before I walk out here in front of a camera, and even while I'm standing here waiting for the cameras to begin rolling, I say, Holy Spirit, help me to use your seven gifts. Help me to speak about what you want me to speak about. Help me to be what you want me to be. And I leave it up to Him. I ask you to do the same because, you see, what I wish for you is peace of mind. What I wish for you is contentment. What I wish for you is the realization that you are lovable, you are capable, you are precious. I want you to realize and remember tonight that no matter what you've done in your life, you are loved.